Welcome to Basic Gospel. We are here every day at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. Relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And our purpose every day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. We invite your phone calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As I've talked to people in my ministry experience, I just hear this time and time again. If only I could experience some peace. Oh, I just pray and pray and pray that somewhere, at some point, God would allow me to experience peace in the midst of my circumstances. It's a big issue. It's something that we all want to experience, but we have a hard time figuring out how to experience the peace of God. And that's what we want to talk about on today's program. So if you have questions about how to experience the peace of God, if you have roadblocks that seem to be keeping you from experiencing the peace of God, we want to talk about those on today's broadcast. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. If you call now, we can get to your questions quickly in the program, and we would like to take as many callers on the broadcast today as possible. So go ahead and dial that number, 1-800-677-9377. Let's talk about the peace of God on today's edition of Basic Gospel.
Calls beginning to come in, Bob, but not quite ready, so let's take a question from Neil. A question on 1 Peter 4:17. Often I hear this used to motivate Christians to be better because we know God's judgment begins at home. The most logical answer, in light of who I know God to be, is that His children, as His children, we judge ourselves, like 2 Corinthians 13:5, but that does not hold up in context. I certainly believe that Jesus took my judgment on the cross. Is this a truing process? That's from Neil.
Well, that's a good question, and it's talking about the context is experiencing persecution. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, because these trials will make you partners with Christ in His suffering. And afterwards, you will have the wonderful joy of sharing His glory when it is displayed to all of you. So that's the context. And it goes on to say, be happy if you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God will come upon you. And so that's what he's saying, is this judgment is coming from the world towards you who believe in Jesus Christ. Paul put it this way, if you're going to walk with Christ, if you're going to journey with Him, you will be persecuted in this world today. Just as the world persecuted Jesus, so is it going to persecute those who follow Him, who claim to know Him personally. So I think that's what this particular passage is talking about in 1 Peter 4. Richard, do you have any insight on that?
I think you've got it exactly. Put it in context, and it becomes very clear.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we await your phone calls. A couple of open lines available, 1-800-677-9377. To Corpus Christi, Texas, let's talk to Steve, listening on KCTA. Steve, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Basically, my question is concerning the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of salvation. Jesus came on the scene preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and of course Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that the gospel consists of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are there two different gospels, or just two aspects of the gospel, or can you give me some insight on that, please?
Well, that's a great question.
Yes, it is.
And I think there's a lot of confusion that exists out there, and the confusion comes right down to that. Are there two gospels or just one gospel? And I think the Word of God is very clear that there's just one gospel. And that gospel, it's the word gospel means good news. And that mm-hmm. announcement of good news is that Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's what the angels announced to the shepherds. That's part of this good news, that Jesus Christ is a Savior. And the other part of that announcement is how he saves us. And that's through his death, burial, and resurrection. So those who respond to that message, they are snatched out of the kingdom of darkness, and they are placed into the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of darkness, Satan, sin, death, all of those things ruled and reigned. But in this kingdom of God, we come under the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he renews all things, then we will be a part of that reigning body over all of his creation. So this good news, this gospel message, when we respond to it by faith, it grants us entry into this kingdom of God, where Christ is now ruling in our hearts. And that's all a kingdom is. It's a place where the king rules. Well, the body of Christ today is where Jesus, who is our king, rules in and through us. It's invisible, but at one point it will become visible when Jesus returns and he brings his kingdom in a visible way to this planet. So there's just one gospel. Jew and Gentile are saved by grace through faith. The Jews who responded to Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, which was a message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, they were baptized into the body, became members of this kingdom of God. And the same is true of you and me today.
So many say today that Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom to Israel, but then the Israelites, they rejected that kingdom, and the kingdom was postponed,
here's the deal. The nation of Israel had a understanding of what that kingdom looked like. And when Jesus came on the scene, he didn't meet their vision of the kingdom. What they wanted Jesus to do was to overturn the Roman Empire. A political kingdom. And they wanted to be elevated to become the preeminent nation on the planet. But that wasn't the kingdom that Jesus was preaching. He was preaching a different kingdom, a kingdom that is spiritual in nature, that first and foremost had to execute a rescue plan to pull people out of the kingdom of darkness and place them into the kingdom of light. So they rejected Jesus because Jesus didn't live up to their expectations.
Okay.
And sometimes we do the same thing today. We want Jesus to help us in a certain way. In other words, we bring an agenda to the table. And when Jesus doesn't meet our agenda, we forget about him and we go look for another place that will align themselves with our agenda. But we have to come to a point and realize maybe Christ has something better for us than what our agenda is. And when we come to that point, that's what enables us to receive this new life that he has for us through faith in him.
It was like that because Colossians 1, I think it's 1:12, it says that we were translated to the kingdom, that we're in the kingdom of Jesus because he delivers us from the kingdom of darkness. And has I don't know what the word is, transplanted or translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right.
So he's really reigning right now, right?
In and through us, absolutely, as his children, as the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body, he rules He rules through us. That's the kingdom. And it's interesting, Paul, who you talked about, you know, Jesus preached the kingdom. Paul preached this gospel message. If you look in Acts 28, it says in verse 23 that Paul told the Jews there in Rome about the kingdom of God. And for the next 2 years, Paul lived in his own rented house. He welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God with all boldness and teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel message and this kingdom of God are one in the same. They're hand in glove with one another. Great question today. We sure appreciate you bringing it up on the broadcast.
Thank you so much, Steve. Good to hear from you. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Again, thank you for joining us. I want to remind you that during the month of June at Basic Gospel, we have a new CD to aid your growth and understanding of what you hear every day on this broadcast. It's a message called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours this month for a gift of any amount. Simply go online to realanswers.net. That's realanswers.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. And request your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Our gift to you for a gift of any amount this month at Basic Gospel. Again, 1-800-677-9377, Framingham, Mass. Let's talk to Sylvia, listening on WVNE. Hi, Sylvia. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'd just like to find out how you can experience peace through trials.
That's a great question, and I sure appreciate you asking that on today's broadcast, because that's what we want to experience. We get in the midst of a trial and tribulation, and it's heavy on us, and we don't know which way to turn, and so we start to worry. We start to wonder what tomorrow is going to bring. We start to project out into the future, and every time we do that, we paint a very bleak, dark scenario. And when we do, our emotions respond. We get anxious. We get fearful. We get all of those things. And that robs us of the peace that we can experience now. So what we have to realize is that God is bigger than our circumstances, that God has promised to cause all things to work together for good. And when we rest in that truth, when we believe that truth, then the peace of God is a byproduct of that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell folks it's so important for us as believers to circle back to a question Jesus asked of his disciples: who do you say that I am? And Peter answered that question: you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the other apostles answered it, and we see their answers spelled out for us in Scripture. John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he answered that question with that verse, saying that Jesus Christ is God. And the other apostles came to that same conclusion, that Jesus Christ is God. So we need to circle back to that question time and time again, especially in the midst of our circumstances, and ask ourselves, right now, do I truly believe that Jesus Christ is God? And if so, am I willing to trust him with this circumstance that seems so big to me, but to him is a problem that he can solve just like that? And if I'm willing to...
Do you think he puts trials in our lives so our faith will grow?
Trials and tribulations are just a part of this life that we live in. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. Sin is in this world. We're naturally going to have trials and tribulations. God isn't there saying, wow, I'm going to test this person's faith and see how they're going to respond, so I'm going to throw this trial into their lives. He doesn't have to do that. Just the nature of the world that we live in brings its own trials and tribulations. But in the midst of those, we have Jesus. And Jesus is God. He's bigger than our trials and tribulations. He loves us, he cares for us, and he's concerned about us in the midst of those. And when we respond...
Little bit of a problem there. I don't know what's going on. But, Bob Christopher, are you still there? Okay, we have lost Bob Christopher's connection. Sylvia, are you still with us?
Yeah, are you still there?
Apparently we're having problems all the way around. So, Richard, I will pose a question to you while we're getting the issue straightened away here. This is from Paul, who writes to us through the Internet, since we have a little problem with our phone lines. He says, looking at the verses 1 Corinthians 11:27-32, looking through the lens of the New Covenant, can you provide a solid explanation for Paul's warnings here? Can you specifically address what appears to be an equation? If you partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, you, one, are bringing judgment upon yourself, and two, you may get sick and die as a result. The judgment part I can see is possibly referring to other believers present, but verse 30 has me a bit stumped, the dying part. Please clarify according to the New Covenant.
Well, I can guarantee you that if one of the results of doing the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner was death, I would have been dead a long time ago. As a kid, I hated the Lord's Supper. First of all, in the way I was raised, you couldn't participate in the Lord's Supper unless you were baptized.
Yeah.
And then when you were baptized, it became a very dark, sad, look at the sin in your life kind of situation. And I hated that. I participated because you had to. But I didn't like it. What's up with this, God? Well, then I began to study. And if you look at the context of 1 Corinthians 11, you see that what was going on was this a terrible expression of the competition that existed in the Corinthian church. There were the haves and the have-nots, and that have and have-not applied to spiritual gifts, it applied to money, it applied to position, it applied to where you were born, what your ethnicity was. You name it, they were competing with each other and separating the church as a result. Well, in the Lord's Supper, the rich people were coming together early and eating up all the food and drinking up all the wine. And then when the poorer folk got there, apparently they weren't told when it was going to start. So they show up, and first, they're embarrassed for being late. Second, they're embarrassed because there's nothing to eat. Third, they're embarrassed because the rich people, many of them, are drunk. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know they drank real wine back then. So you know, when they're suffering from gluttony, you get drunk.
Yeah.
One of the things that happens when you get drunk is you fall asleep, for some people. Others don't. Some people get overly happy. Some people get mean. Some people fall asleep. And that's all that was going on here. And Paul is saying to those people, look, you're supposed to be celebrating the very resurrection, or the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The bread represented his broken body, where he once and for all took care of sin. The wine represents the new covenant in his blood, whereby we are declared to be righteous. We are now his children when we accept him. We can never be separated from the love of God. This should be the greatest celebration in the history of the church, and it should draw us together like no other ceremony in the church could ever do. Because it doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. We are all one in Christ. And so the judgment he is talking about is the folks who were showing up who could not participate because of the gluttony of the others, judging the people who were eating up the food and drinking all the wine. This was individuals judging each other because of terrible behavior and terrible attitudes driving that behavior. And he's saying, look, there's an easy solution to this. If you're hungry, eat at home. Do what you need to satisfy your hunger. It's okay to be hungry. Mm-hmm. Just go home and eat and then come back and celebrate this simple little meal. It's not about the meal. It's about Jesus.
Sure.
Celebrate this simple little thing together and love each other, mm-hmm, instead of doing the things you're doing. And so it's this isn't judgment from God. This is judgment from within the body of Christ itself, and it shouldn't be there. What we should be doing is encouraging each other as we grow together as one in Christ.
Yeah, great answer. Thank you, Richard. Quickly to El Paso, let's talk to Nikki, listening on KELP. Hi, Nikki. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is, today I was listening to preaching on the radio of one of my favorite pastors, and I was kind of disturbed because he was saying that God, he believes God makes people sick, just like King David's baby, he gave him a disease and he died. And also when Paul was, to get your attention, he says, and when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he put like scales on his eyes and gave him that kind of like a sickness for 3 days. And then he would say, like, if I fall and hurt myself, God allows me. He didn't even say allow. He said that he gives him pain so he can get his attention. Is this true?
Bob, are you still there?
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah, we've got you.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Great question, and it's certainly timely as far as what I am doing this particular week. I am involved in a ministry serving to counsel and minister to families who have kids suffering from some form of pediatric cancer. And one of the things that they say and wonder about and question, is this my child's disease some punishment for something I've done in the past? And so there's tremendous amounts of guilt that they deal with. And there's a great story in John chapter 9 where somebody was born blind, and that was the question, whose sin caused this? And Jesus said it wasn't anybody's sin. This is just so that the glory of God can be shown forth in the healing. And so Jesus healed, and that was one of the miracles that proved his messiahship. But we are so anxious to blame so many things on God, to pin those on his back. You know, God did this, God did that. Well, certainly he allowed things to happen, but these are consequences of sin in this world today. When Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was sin. That was bringing forth a lie into this world. God said to them that death was going to be the consequence, and that's what we're seeing in this world. So the sickness in this world is a direct result of that. So it's not God up there saying, "Hey, I'm gonna make this person sick or make that person sick." It's just what happens in this world, and that's why we have to rely upon the great hope that we have in Christ, that He not only renews us and gives us new life and promises a resurrection body, He also says He's going to make all things right. And we can count on that. There's going to be a time when there is no sickness. There is no disease. All those things will be completely expunged, will be completely sent away. And we will have
God
a time.
God put sickness on people then?
No, that's God isn't putting sickness on people. That's just a result of living in this world that we live in right now.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, because I was shocked. Because this pastor I really like, and he says, "Well, I was sick, and I just didn't want anyone to kill me. I think God wanted me to learn a lesson, and I'm glad nobody prayed for me when I was sick, because there was a lesson that he wanted me to learn."
Well, certainly we're going to learn some things about God in the midst of our trials and tribulations, and we're going to see what our faith is really like, but God isn't the one up there giving us these illnesses and that sort of thing. That's just part of the world that we live in.
Yeah, Nikki, thank you so much for your call, and we appreciate your participation. We're out of time for right now. And, you know, everyone is on a journey, but we don't always know where our journey is going to take us. So at Basic Gospel, we invite you to take a journey to life and freedom, a life and freedom that begins and ends with Jesus Christ. If you've been confused about the direction of your life, this message will give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's called the Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit realanswers.net. Just click the link on the homepage or call 1-800-727-2828. That's realanswers.net or 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the entire ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us at the same time tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.